Our Bible reading from the New Testament comes from Romans 7 and it's verses 15 to 25. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh I am a slave to the law of sin. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will open our hearts to your love this morning. Amen. Wow, what a passage. When I first read it after my name came up against it on the preaching rota, I must admit my heart sank. I mean, it's such a rambling mess. You wonder how it can possibly be helpful. And yet it was written by St. Paul, a giant of faith and teaching. He's the man who's responsible for spreading Christianity wider than possibly anybody else in history. So whilst he can be pretty obtuse at times, we have to consider what we can learn from anything and everything he wrote. And it was thinking about that began to give me an entry into this passage. The very fact that Paul was a giant of faith and responsible for so much amazing teaching in the Bible makes it even more startling that he's reduced to this burbling wreck. Sorry, Paul, but it's true. The fact that even he can't live as he feels he ought to should make us more hopeful. Well, either that or give up entirely. And you'll be relieved to know that I'm going to tell you why I think it gives us hope rather than cause to despair. I mean, we've all done it, right? Lain awake in the middle of the night thinking, how could I have done or said that? And one of my personal favourites, will I never learn? Well, isn't that what Paul is doing here? He says, I don't understand my own actions, for I don't do what I want to do, but I keep doing what I hate. In other words, what he knows to be wrong. Evil, he says, lies close at hand. But you know, nobody ever said that life as a Christian was going to be easy. In fact, at pretty much every stage, we're warned that evil is going to be close at hand. There are lots of examples in the Bible. The Gospels tell us that Jesus himself was tempted by the devil for 40 days and nights directly after his baptism. Now, Jesus didn't give in to temptation, but there are plenty of people in the Bible who did. Elijah, perhaps the greatest Old Testament prophet, had a huge success in showing the power of God to the people by praying for rain. But straight afterwards, he lost his faith in God and ran away in fear of his life. He sat down under a bush and said, I've had enough, Lord, I can't do this. take my life and let's get this over and done with. Peter was the disciple who really got who Jesus was, the man Jesus called the rock and planned to build his church on. But he denied Jesus three times in an all too human display of cowardice and weakness. There are countless examples in the Bible of people who veered between demonstrations of wonderful faith and sin or doubt. So if all these giants of faith messed up so badly, what hope have we normal people got? Well, Paul, of course, gives us the answer at the end of this passage. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The contrast between Paul's rambling confusion and this wonderfully simple statement is clear. The human bits are always going to be a right old mess, but Jesus is all we need. His forgiveness, his truth, his clarity. At our 10:30 service this morning, Susie will be baptising baby Thea. Life's pretty simple for Thea right now, but soon she'll be crawling and walking and making her own decisions. And we all know, no matter how cute she is now, there will be times when she's just plain naughty. Just wait till she reaches the terrible twos and then the teenage years. Lovely. But for sure, there'll be times when her parents are just tearing their hair out. But fundamentally, they will still love her. They will try to teach her and help her through the tough times, even when they're of her own making. And that's the same relationship that God wants with us, except I'm quite sure God doesn't tear his hair out ever. He wants to teach us and help us through tough times, even when they're of our own making. Because, of course, that's how we learn. No matter how many times we mess up, he won't stop loving us. Isn't that an amazing thought? We have his full-on, unconditional love, patience, and forgiveness, no matter what. And this is the promise of baptism, of the cross and resurrection. Jesus died for us and saved us once and forever. No matter how many times we slip back, and we will every day, he's standing there waiting to lift us out of our mess like a beautiful silver spoon lifting us out of the alphabet soup that we've got ourselves into. But that doesn't mean we can say, okay, I'm saved forever, so it doesn't matter now what I do. Just like Thea's parents, God, our Father, wants us to keep learning so that we can get the best out of life. Her parents hope that Thea turns to them in love and listens to them, at least some of the time, and follows their example, but only, of course, when they're at their best. God likewise wants us to turn to him in love, and he's always at his best. He wants us to listen to him and follow his example. But how do we do that? As Paul says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, God understands what it's like to be human. That's such an important and big statement. I'm going to say it again. God understands what it is to be us, because through Jesus Christ, he has been fully human. And if we make Jesus Christ our Lord, if we seek to follow his example by reading about him in the Bible and through prayer, through trying to understand God's will for us, we will get the very best out of our lives. We can become or be brought up a Christian and we're saved. No question. Come to church on Sundays or not. Still job done. But if our faith is limited to that, we will miss out on so much. Every time we connect to Jesus through prayer and Bible reading, we receive his grace. He lifts us out of our mess, our spiritual alphabet soup, and places us firmly, if you like, on the crouton of his love. We are secure and safe in his love. We can see clearly above the best of the day. Now, we can choose to dive back in, or we can lose focus and end up falling, and no doubt we will. But Jesus is always there, waiting for us to turn and reach out to him again, just like Thea's parents will be for her. So although I started off being appalled by Paul, and I suspect that some of you may have felt the same way when you heard this reading too, I now think that we can really take heart from what he says. Hopefully reaching out to Jesus each day and finding his grace, his truth, his clarity. But at the very least, next time you're lying awake struggling with your conscience, can I suggest that, like Paul, you ask, "Who will rescue me?" And have your answer ready. Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.